hoping that you understand. You ain't the man to tell you in demand. Just pray to God we keep you in the plan. You ain't the man to tell you in it.
Hey there, welcome to Time Out with Ty, episode 48. There's a new NBA season approaching, you might have noticed if you don't live under a rock, a very big rock. But people who don't live under rocks might have overlooked the fact that there is a new NBA D-League season also approaching. I did not overlook that, nor did my guest. I have with me today Chris Reichert, the editor or site expert or whatever we're calling ourselves these days, over at Upside and Motor, Fansided's D-League and not just D-League, also like young rookies and sophomores site, I want to say.
Yeah, an NBA draft. And some international coverage, too.
Yeah, but pretty much everyone underrated, just like Chris himself. How's it going, Chris?
It's good, man. It's a rainy Thursday night up here in Washington.
It is rainy in Wisconsin as well. Luckily, we're not in the worst of it. I guess before we start here, just a quick sort of shout-out. Hope everything is going okay, or at least not horrible, down in Florida and the Bahamas, where there's currently a hurricane. Best wishes to those people.
Definitely.
But since we can't do much because all we are is NBA/NBA D-League guys, we're going to talk about the D-League here. It's an exciting season. The last few have been exciting, I really think. But this one, the D-League is now up to 22 teams. If I'm correct, all of them are now affiliated with an NBA team.
That's right. Yep.
So we've got three entirely new teams that were just formed. The Greensboro Swarm formed for the Charlotte Hornets. The Brooklyn Nets got the Long Island Nets, and the Chicago Bulls got the Windy City Bulls. Plus, we have the Utah Jazz. Their moved team is now the Salt Lake City Stars, and the Phoenix Suns bought the Northern Arizona Suns. I guess this is probably a weird question, but out of the three new teams, I don't know if you want to throw the two moved teams in there with that. Let's just do the three new ones. Which of the expansion teams looks best so far?
Oh, it's always tough with the expansion teams because the drafts always look really, really good on paper. But you got to remember that the other teams are making these players available for a reason. You know, so they're probably reaching out to these players, reaching out to their agents, trying to find out if there's any way that they're going to come back. So a lot of these guys don't ever end up suiting up, you know, for their team. Last year, only Scott Suggs suited up for the Raptors 905 out of their 12 picks. Actually, they had 16 picks because there was only one team that was added. So right. Out of their 16 picks, only Scott Suggs played for them. Ricky Lito was one of their picks who they traded, and he played for Reno. So two out of the 16 played last year. So as far as that goes, it's hard to tell on the expansion drafts, but when you look at players you're excited about that could be affiliate players, I really like Greensboro. I think Greensboro has a pretty good group of guys who could be coming, like Rashid Suleiman out of Maryland, Perry Ellis from Kansas, Mike Toby, and then Andrew Andrews from the University of Washington. That core group right there is a good group to start with, and then you draft around them, and you know you get your waiver guys in. But I kind of like what Greensboro is doing just on paper so far.
So they have, I know, I saw you announce some today. Are the coaching staffs for all of the new teams now in place?
They are, yeah. For the new teams, for Greensboro, it's Noel Gillespie. He was an assistant with Denver last year, so he, wanted to get his kind of feet wet in head coaching. Comes down to be the head coach. The head coach for Long Island is Ronald Norred, who college fans might remember from Butler. He hired as an assistant coach Ryan Gomes, who NBA fans should know that name as well. And then the Windy City Bulls hired Nate Lenzer from within their staff with Chicago last year. And then they hired assistant coach A.J. Guyton. That's a name from the past for you, who used to play for the Bulls. So he's an assistant for them.
I love that the D-League just gives you so many more opportunities for positions like this. I feel like it's easier to get your name known as a head coach in the D-League than as like an assistant with an NBA team, or especially like a, you know, end-of-the-bench assistant, like maybe a lead assistant. Like everyone knew who Ty Lue was for the Cavs last year, but I probably couldn't name you all of the Bucks assistant coaches. However, if there were a Milwaukee Bucks D-League team, which, again, it looks like that's going to be pretty soon, maybe by next year. Hopefully by next year, I think is what I've heard. I'd probably know that person's name, that head coach of the Oshkosh, whatever. I don't know how much you've studied this particular case. Do you know anything about if it looks like it's going to be Oshkosh?
I know that it looks like it's between Oshkosh and Sheboygan, and the last thing that I saw today was that Sheboygan had the upper hand. I tried to follow up with some of my league sources on it and haven't heard back yet. So no real truth, I guess, to that. I don't want to put a speculation out that it'll be in Sheboygan, but I did hear something today. I just saw it. I came upon it on Twitter. But it's not like a journalist or anything like that. It was just somebody who said, you know, yeah, that they had heard that Sheboygan had the upper hand. So I tried to follow up on it. So, but those are the two cities that it's down to from everything that I've been told is Oshkosh or Sheboygan.
As someone sitting in Oshkosh, I'm hoping that your Twitter guy was wrong, but who knows? The shitty thing is, by the time the D-League showed up, I'd just be leaving, if not already left. And I'm so upset about that. Like, I'm just thinking about how cool it would be to have a D-League around. We talked about this last time, like the availability of really good seats, like even courtside seats. I would have absolutely gotten, like, probably season tickets to an Oshkosh D-League team. If it was close enough to where I live, like by UW-Oshkosh, that's such a great idea to put it in a college town. Like, these college kids, obviously college kids don't have money, but they are, like, there's tons of NBA fans. To get to see draft picks from the Bucks, you know, some local guys. I saw there was a really cool article on Upside Motor about open tryouts, like should they still have them or not, especially if like some local guys were on the team. It just seems like I'm excited about the D-League. I'm always excited about the D-League. It's up to 22 teams.
I love it.
So you think, I know you had said, I'm trying to remember exactly what year you said to me before. I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was by like 2018-19 you thought we might have full affiliation, 2020 maybe?
I think it'll be probably 19-20. I mean, that's 3 years from now. That gives 2 to 3. You know, we have 8 teams without one. So 2 to 3, you know, over the next couple of years, I think is doable. I think we're going to get Milwaukee next year. You know, teams like Atlanta have really talked about it. Minnesota is now in the boat talking about it. Denver says that they're probably going to have a team for next year. So, you know, I think we could add another 2 to 3 next year, and then everybody else will just follow suit.
I mean, it makes sense. Even if, and this could be something too, where we have no idea how the CBA talks are going to affect anything. We have no idea how they're going to go in general. But this could be a thing too, where I would not be surprised if the NBA mandated that each team needs an affiliate team. I don't know if they have to. It seems like people are just sort of seeing the writing on the wall, and that it makes sense. But like we've seen with the Sterling thing and with other things, Adam Silver is not afraid to be proactive. He will react or even take measures before needing to react if the situation dictates it. It's a little weird that we have, you know, 22 out of 30. I mean, I think the flex assignment works. It's not horrible. I think teams that can get a flex are going to want it because basically, if I understand correctly, you get an extra assignment player if you get a flex, right?
Right, yeah. You're not limited to just year three because they're not going to hurt your NBA team, you know, for sending three players down, you know, at one time if you take on a flex player. So you can actually get more talent in, you know, if you take a flex. I don't think we've had it to where it's gone to the lottery system where they have to kind of wheel it out. Usually what happens is NBA guy gets on there as an assignment from a flex team and one of the teams scoops him up, you know, and it's pretty quick. Probably multiple times where multiple teams said, hey, yeah, we'll take him, and then it's up to the NBA team ultimately, you know, who takes him, so.
Yeah, I had written a piece about maybe Thon Maker should start his career in the D-League, and people snapped on me for this, which I really don't understand. Like, a lot of people are like, hell no, are you crazy? Like, I don't want to do a deep dive because I'm doing a couple Bucks podcasts soon to get ready for the season, but there's a lot of big men on the Bucks. I mean, there's 3 centers making $42 million combined, plus Jabari, plus Mirza Teletovic, plus Michael Beasley, who's been a power forward nominally in recent years. I just don't see many minutes for Thon, and I'd rather see him play a lot in the D-League than hardly ever with the Bucks. But I wrote in my piece, like, yeah, technically if no one claimed him, it would be a lottery thing, but I highly doubt 22 D-League teams pass on Thon Maker, given the chance to get him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a team's going to take him. You know, they have their obligations to their guys already as well, but ultimately they want to win also. You know, so, you know, these coaches, like you mentioned, that we've talked about, they want to win. You know, they're trying to get their name out there. They're trying to move up to the NBA as well. It's not only for the players. So they'll definitely take these guys, and the only trouble is on the flex is that you can't guarantee how many minutes they're going to get. You can't guarantee, you know, what kind of scheme they're going to be running in, that kind of thing. So that's the benefit to having your own team. And you know, to your comment about the CBA and the league maybe forcing them, I think what would really force them is what I think we're going to see is where the NBA teams will own some of these players, if not all of their players' rights in the D-League, to where mm-hmm. it becomes like a true minor league. You know, in Wojnarowski's article today on his report that they think a deal will get done and there won't be a lockout this time around, he mentioned the two-way roster positions, you know, specifically mentioned that in his article, which is great. So I think once those value pieces come into it, then you'll see teams who are a little bit more reluctant right now jump on board, like Portland, you know, teams like that who have been kind of not really pushing back but have no mention of it whatsoever, you know what I mean, being interest to them at this point. So I think you add that in where it's not so much the Wild Wild West and the D-League anymore, where players, teams can feel like they have a buy-in, they can develop these players, and then later use them for their franchise and not worry about them getting cherry-picked. I think you're going to see more buy-in ultimately from the teams without a team right now.
How bummed are you that Portland is one of the eight without a D-League team, considering that you live in the Pacific Northwest? Very bummed?
I mean, I was pretty upset when they ended their affiliation with Idaho, but, you know, Neil Olshey's been about player development. He's a player development guy, and he's always believed in in-house development. So, I mean, I wasn't too hurt just because Idaho wasn't that close to me. You know, if it was somewhere close like Portland or even closer like somewhere up here in Washington, then I would have been pretty bummed. But with teams looking at proximity, I think if they're gonna put a team in, they're probably gonna look somewhere south. You know, in the Portland area, maybe one of those suburbs down there. So that'll be close enough, though. That's a two-hour drive. That's a quick drive. I'll definitely go down and cover some games, you know, when they jump on board. They'll probably be one of the last, I would predict.
That sucks. you don't see them trying to bring basketball back to Seattle with a minor league team? Would Seattle even want that, do you think?
I don't know. I think Seattle would probably think it's a little bit of a slap in the face. You know, I wrote an article last year, pitching like Tacoma area, which is about 30 minutes south of Seattle. It's about an hour to 2 hour drive from Portland. You know, they have a SeaTac is a city between Seattle and Tacoma that has our international airport. You know, maybe a 20-minute flight from Portland. You know, so they could fly up, go down to Tacoma or Renton, another big city in this area. So I think that would be more doable for a minor league team, for a D-League team like this. But I don't think Seattle would want any part of it.
Well, plus, I mean, this is something Bill Simmons loves to talk about, but it would take away the you know, ever-present threat for when the NBA wants a team to do something and they don't want to do it, like when the Bucks. When Milwaukee was talking about not building a new stadium, well, we've got a city that'll take your team ASAP. And if they had a D-League team, I don't know if you can pull that card quite as quick. So that's another reason Seattle might not work. I wanted to ask about, before you mentioned teams like winning, and I didn't look this up. Let me see if I remember it. Let's see if you're going to be proud of me. I want to say last year the Austin Spurs beat the Los Angeles Defenders in the D-League Finals?
False.
Backwards?
You were close. You had one. The Defenders were in the finals, but Sioux Falls.
The Sky Force.
The title.
They have the crazy offense, right?
Yeah, well, and the best defense.
They're the Warriors. Yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah, Reno's the team with the crazy, they used to have the super up-tempo offense. LA had the super up-tempo offense as well. Sioux Falls had the top-rated defense. They had guys like DeAndre Liggins and Jarnell Stokes and Torrey Murray, a bunch of guys. I mean, they had a bunch of talent there. And they won. They set the record last year for wins in the season. In the regular season, they went 40-10. It's only a 50-game season in the D-League, so winning 80% of your games is pretty damn good.
Not bad.
You know, and then they finished it off by winning the title. And, you know, then their coach went back up to Miami, and, you know, they got a new coach. and a bunch of new players this year. I'm sure a lot of those players won't be back because the majority of them signed either overseas deals or they're in NBA camps right now.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask about teams moving soon. But first, I was reading your top 10 of or your top. Well, it was like I think it was a top 50 players in the D League last year. I was glancing through the top 10 today, and the D League is weird right now. And I think part of it is because the NBA teams don't own all the players, which I know is something you do not want to happen. You'd rather have the flex roster spots, just so there's more of that, more guys get more opportunities. But it's weird that a lot of guys will go from the D League to Europe. I don't know if it makes sense. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I mean, the European teams are paying a lot, and not just European, the international teams are paying a lot of money. I saw, who got $5 million today?
Norris Cole
got $5
million. $5 million deal in China. That's not even a full season. That's like a four-month season in China.
Yeah, you can come back.
$5 million a month.
Yeah, because Beasley came back after his China season to play with the Rockets last year.
Yeah, that's the allure of China for a lot of these guys who think that they're NBA guys or who have NBA talent. Clearly, Norris Cole has NBA talent. I think we can both agree on that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, whether it's as much as he thinks he has is another story. But I think he's rosterable in the NBA. You know, so this is the allure of China is that they paid top dollar for their imports. And then you're done in February. So you can come back and latch on with a team who maybe has an injury to a point guard or just wants some extra depth before the playoffs or whatever the case is. So that's a huge selling point for them.
Well, plus, I mean, what are the chances Norris Cole drops like a 50 at least once?
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I mean, you take these guys and put them in China, and they can just go off.
If you watch the D League and you think there's little to no defense, China is another realm above that. There's very little defense. It's very offensive-based. Guys like Willie Warren, I don't know if you remember Willie Warren. He played at Oklahoma with Blake Griffin. Was supposed to be huge in the NBA and just never panned out. He averaged 40 points a game last year in China. So, you know, guys are putting up ridiculous numbers. Jimmer's probably going to do the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmer Fredette signed in China, and he's probably going to do the same thing. So, big numbers over there.
It's too bad Jimmer signed in China because if he stayed in the D League, they probably would have had to build a D League Hall of Fame just for Jimmer.
Jimmer, everybody loves Jimmer, man. Everybody loves
Jimmer. I don't love Jimmer.
He's a very likable guy. He is
likable. I just think, I mean, like, he just tears up the D League. It's him and Seth Curry, who's now a real paid NBA player with the Mavericks. But yeah, Jimmer would have had to build a Hall of Fame or at least add a section to. Where is the basketball one? Springfield, I think. Wherever it is. They would have had to build a section. They would have had to build a D-League section, and it would have just been Jimmer. but I guess just to get back to what I sort of started with, is it unusual for players to last in the D-League for a long time?
I think when they're there for a long time, it's one of two things. You know, hey, I don't want to go overseas, even though I don't really have a chance at the NBA. I'm gonna stay here and just do this for my career. You know, there's guys like Ronaldo Major, who's the all-time leading scorer in the D League. I think he's going on like his 10th or 11th season, it's just what he wants to do. You know, he wants to stay here. He doesn't want to go overseas. I'm sure he could go overseas somewhere and make better money, but you know, he doesn't want to. So you have those guys on that end of the spectrum, and then you have the guys like Steph Curry or Willie Reed, who stick around for 2 years, even though they're not getting, you know, deals yet, because they're just betting on themselves that much. You know, that they say, okay, I know last year I didn't get a call up, or maybe I only got one 10-day deal, but I'm going to come back and do it again for another full season, or however long it takes me to get into the NBA. And it worked out for Seth Curry, it worked out for Willie Reed. You know, so it can happen. I mean, it's usually like a one and done thing. They'll come for 1 year, and you know, maybe they'll leave. But if they come for 1 year, and then they get, you know, an NBA camp deal or something where they get some guaranteed money, and then they still get some interest, but maybe there wasn't enough roster spots. They might stick around for the start of the second season. But usually two full seasons from a really good player you don't see very often.
So does that make D-League fandom, which I'm sure right now is pretty much limited to fans of the NBA affiliate or people who live in the town or the area, does that mean it's almost more like college fandom in that you sort of just root for the team, players come and go, but you know, you root for the team. You probably, it's just like college, I'm sure, where like someone gets drafted by a team that you liked when they were on your D-League team. You might follow them a little if they're in the NBA, if they head to China. But you really, you can't get too attached to players because most of them are, like you said, a year or two before they're off to their next stop.
Yeah, I think you see a lot of, like, you know, it's a lot of, like you said, small marketplaces where these teams are. So the fans love their team. You know, they go out, they come out maybe for a couple games, and they think, oh, it's just another entertainment thing. And I think a lot of people really fall in love with it. They fall in love with the players. The players are super accessible. The coaches are the same way, and it's a very family-friendly atmosphere and also still good for, like, diehard fans who want to see development of players and see players grow and, like you said, move on to the next level, whether that's the NBA or somewhere overseas. So it is a lot of it, I would make it, I guess, akin to college more than NBA, obviously, because you're not going to get, you know, a dynasty per se, you know, with, at least not with the same players. You know, if you have a good staff and a good kind of way that you develop players and a good kind of strategy for getting affiliates every single year, you know, they can, NBA teams can send down up to four players from their training camp. So that's really the best way to build up your roster at the beginning of the year. Because that's four guys who you're probably going to start. I mean, unless two of them play the same position. And even so, they might both start anyways just because of the talent gap. I think you're right. I think it's a lot more like college as far as the fandom goes.
So you can get four people. I know I saw you were talking about this with someone earlier, is that I forget which team, but they paid quite a bit to get someone basically on an NBA, technically NBA contract, but it's essentially for the D-League play. It's like $225,000, right?
Yeah. Well, Kyle Wiltjer got $275,000 from Houston, which is very high. Usually you see players like $25,000 to $100,000 to $125,000.
Yeah.
So for them to give Wiltjer $275,000, my only thought on that is, he said, hey, unless I get a really good guarantee when I get cut from you guys, I'm going to just head overseas. And they said, well, we want you to stick around, so we'll give you $275,000. And I'm sure it's like an unwritten thing. It can't be in his contract, but it's like, hey, they have an unwritten agreement. We're giving you this money so that you can at least stay and play for the at least like the first 2 to 3 months here in the D-League if you don't get any other call-ups.
Oh, so he won't be under contract with the Rockets, but he'll, like, they basically fully guaranteed the $275,000. Then they cut him from training camp, but he stays with the D-League team. Unwritten handshake, wink, wink, nod, nod type thing?
Yeah. Usually if a player's in camp, so you can look up, just try to find the guys who are getting partial guarantees. You can look on, I use Eric Pincus a lot on basketballinsiders.com. He has really good salary pages. If you can see a guy who's getting a partial guarantee, and he's not like a long-standing guy, he's a rookie, and they have a D-League affiliate, he's probably going to their D-League affiliate if he doesn't make the team. Those things usually go hand in hand. It doesn't necessarily mean that if a guy doesn't have any partial guarantee that he's not going as well. It just means that maybe he didn't have a bunch of teams asking him to come to camp, so they didn't feel like they needed to pay him any kind of guarantee. But if you look, you can kind of see the writing on the wall and who the affiliates will be or could be, you know, in a lot of these cases.
That is super interesting. The D-League is honestly the Wild West right now. Like, that's, I don't want to say sketchy, like, I don't think it's sketchy, but it's a little hilarious, the fact that they don't have a system to do that better right now. So they just have to, like, basically, like a sort of, like, Dirk taking less money at the end of his career type deal. Like, Dirk, you know, you'll work for the Mavericks forever. Mark Cuban owns the team. You'll make this money back for your loyalty. It's like one of those, like, don't worry about exactly what's happening here. Just know that this player is sticking around.
Yeah, and it's a risk for the Rockets because $275,000 is a drop in the bucket for an NBA team. But still, that's $275,000 that they're not guaranteed to keep Kyle Wiltjer anywhere if they cut him from camp. So he could go play in Rio Grande Valley for two or three games, kill it, and another team could sign him, and that's $275,000 that's lost by Houston. But they like him enough to give him that money and hope that he'll go to the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. And if he doesn't make the Rockets, I mean, 99.9%, I can tell you he's going to Rio Grande Valley to play.
That's fascinating. I'm going to be watching. What's his name? Williger? Kyle Williger?
Kyle Williger, yeah. Williger. He was the big player for Gonzaga last year.
Oh, really okay. Player.
They're a big-time scorer in Gonzaga. So I think last year I noted it. Last year, guys got about $1.9 to $2 million in partial guarantees from training camps, the affiliate. And this year, that number's higher. It's up to about $3.7 million.
Oh, okay.
Across the league. That's, I mean, three added affiliates, so that makes sense. There's going to be a little bit more money in the pot.
Yeah.
But the dollar figures are going up, too. More teams are given more money. So that's another way to kind of help them and say, hey, we know you're not going to make anything in the D-League, but we want you to stick around and have an NBA shot, hopefully with us, if the opportunity presents itself. So we're going to supplement your salary with this partial guarantee.
It's almost like a signing bonus.
Yeah, almost. I mean, maybe,
except it doesn't keep agent, it doesn't necessarily keep you around.
Yeah, I think maybe his agent said, you know, we got offers from China, or we got offers from somewhere else for $500,000. What are you going to do to keep us here? You know, and they said, well, we can give you $275,000, and you know, they bid. I mean, that's kind of the way these conversations go right now with these training camps, and that'll be a thing that changes if they get that two-way roster spot, or if the NBA teams own all the rights, because I think you're going to see more guarantees like Wilger got with $275,000 if they can only get called up by that team. You know, the money's going to have to be more to entice these players to do that.
I think I still like best the NBA team gets their 15-man roster, but then they get like a 20-man roster, and then so they basically can protect five D-League guys, maybe not even five, maybe less than that. But so basically they get like a starting lineup of players that are just theirs that are guaranteed, and then maybe the rest are like it currently is, like just basically guys who come in and play, and their D-League team owns them, but the NBA team doesn't, so they could sign somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe that's still a little too restrictive on player opportunities. I mean, if they're only bench players getting those looks, then it's probably going to be a lot harder to get called up somewhere else. I don't know. It's hard to figure out this system because, I mean, it's just not something that we've seen in basketball before. I mean, the baseball is so different because there's like four minor leagues and like 250 baseball teams or something ridiculous, and football hasn't even really bothered at trying one. So it's very uncharted waters right now, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to start somewhere. So, I mean, baseball had a time where they didn't have all four minor league teams, you know, for each team either. So it's got to start somewhere. I think we talked about it before. I like the same thing you like. I like the hybrid model where it's maybe three to five guys only. Because you see, even last year with the call-ups that were made, a lot of those players weren't the affiliate players who you would think that's who players, if there were a hybrid system, that's who would be, you know, the players that the teams would want to hold on to as far as the NBA team's rights. So it still gives opportunity to other players, and it allows those players to get a little bit more money in their pocket because their salaries would have to be higher if they're limited. Something's going to change, and I think NBA owners want more buy-in to the D-League, and the way to do it is to give them the rights to their players so they can truly develop these players and have more buy-in and not, you know, have their players poached, you know, in essence. And then that's how a lot of the teams feel right now.
It's going to be interesting going forward. Again, it's so much of it comes to the CBA. I hope there's not a lockout. I know Zach Lowe for years has been saying he doesn't think there'll be one. Hopefully he and Woj, who wrote that today, all right. I'm trying to think if I want to. I have one more question before the lightning round, but maybe I'll just make it part of the lightning round. Chris and I talked about this before we started recording. Basically, what I like to do for these D-League podcasts is basically go through and make sure I know what I think I know about the D-League. so that's basically been this part so far, but I also like to ask some interesting questions, not just, so this happened, what does it mean? I don't know enough to correctly comprehend it. I like to ask some questions that make Chris think a little more too. Hopefully he didn't get too bored in the first part. So here's my first one. Should the playoffs be expanded at all? More teams, maybe. Here, first question, should there be more teams in the playoffs now that there's more teams in the D-League, or should it stay like it is for now?
I like limited number. So, I mean, I like where it's at right now. You know, I like that only eight teams make it. I think it makes it more competitive. I also like that, you know, it's only three-game series. I think it makes every game, you know, super intense. So I like the way it's set up right now. I mean, it's set up right now where the team with the advantage plays on the road to start, which kind of stinks for them, but then they play back-to-back at home. So you get to close out no matter what, you know, at your place when you're the higher seed. So I like how it is right now. I think it adds an aura of intensity to the games and just kind of keeps them, I don't want to say intense again, but it keeps them really competitive for the most part.
So I was going to ask you about the lengths too. You don't think it should be a 5-game finals, just 3?
No, I like 3. I think there's enough, it gives it enough interest to where it's not like a one game, you know, like it's kind of a gimmicky, hey, sudden death, you know, one game winner take all thing. But it's also, by that point, these players are ready to either move on or, you know, hopefully they're still hoping for a call up. You know, it's a long season for them, you know, because a lot of them don't want to be here the full season. So you got to kind of take that into your thought process as well.
Right.
You come in thinking, yeah, this is a full season, but a lot of them come in thinking, hey, I'm not going to be here all year. That's not my plan. My goal is to either get a deal overseas midseason or get a deal in the NBA midseason. So they still want to win. You know, a lot of these players love to win the championship for sure. But I don't think it needs 5 games. I think 3 is good.
Should they eliminate that the division winners and wild card teams go and do it strictly by conference like the NBA?
No, I don't like the conference thing. I like the division. Yeah, I like the division. I really wish they would just do the 8 best records. You know, I'm definitely a proponent of that in the NBA, too. I don't like the whole conference thing either.
Oh, I thought you were saying the other side. I thought you were saying you wanted the division winners and not just the best teams in the conference. I see what you're saying now.
No, yeah. I want the 8 best teams, period. I don't care which conference. I just want the 8 best teams in there and go from there. You know, I think that's what you should need. In past years, the schedule has been a big issue in the D-League because of travel, trying to keep travel costs low for the teams and things like that. But not every team played every other team. And some teams would play teams 10 times. It's 20% of
wild.
Your season. You're playing one team 20% of your season. It's preposterous. But this year, they really did a really good job with the schedule, and every team plays every team. It's a much more balanced schedule, so I think you're going to see more parity this year, where there wasn't a ton of, you know, there wasn't a big disparity between the really bad teams and really good teams. But I think it's going to close that gap a little bit because the really good teams can't prey on the terrible teams over and over and over again.
Yeah, like imagine if like a mid-tier playoff team like Portland got to play like Brooklyn 20 times. Like Portland would look pretty damn good if they had 20 games against the Nets on their schedule.
Yeah, I mean, so the schedule fixing it, getting better is going to fix some of that stuff, which I think is the best way to do it. But I would love just top 8 teams. Forget the conferences. I mean, I understand you want the conferences for the schedule and for travel stuff during the regular season, but after that point, everybody's played 50 games. Let's do the top 8 and let them be a winner take all after that.
Here, idea. Shoot me down or support it, basically, is what I want you to do with this idea. This would never work in the NBA because it's just too much money, too much history, all that. What if there was like a D-League, like Olympic Village type deal for the playoffs so travel didn't matter? So like there's... I don't know if this would work at all, but like every team in the playoffs comes and like chills in the central location and they all play the playoff games in like the same building, a couple buildings, which has the added benefit of, you know, the main Red Claws can play the Santa Cruz Warriors in the first round without having to do a cross country flight. And they only have to do one because that's the way the D-League smartly does their playoffs. But you get rid of that one super long flight. Plus, it makes it much easier for NBA teams to come scout all the best D-League teams right before their seasons end, meaning, and more than NBA, like overseas and everything as well, meaning it would be easier for scouts to pick out some talent. Yes or nah?
Just off top, I'd say no.
No? You like home games? Home games are nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to reward the fans with some of those games.
That's true, too.
The fans that have been coming all season. And also, they already have the D-League Showcase, which is, in a sense, what you're talking about. It's a mid-season tournament, you know, where they have it in one place. This year, it's going to be up in Toronto or in Mississauga, up in Ontario. And every team goes. It's just littered with NBA scouts and international scouts because they're all in one place, and they coincide it with when 10-day contracts become available. So the D-League does a really good job with that on showcasing their players at that event. So I think they already kind of have something like that. And it's in January, so it's pretty, you know, it's still about mid-season. So I think they already have something kind of like that.
Okay. You sold me. I was excited about it at first just because I like the idea of, like, the Olympic Village. Like, I wasn't even thinking about logistics or basketball. I was just thinking it'd be cool to have 8 teams hanging out in the same village for a couple weeks. Does the increased money spent in camp – I know you said there's going to be more parity. Do you think the overall quality of basketball in the D-League is going to go up for this season?
I think with an added team, I think – or with 3 added teams,
yeah,
I think what you're going to see is – I think you're going to see a little bit less overall talent just because they're getting spread over more teams. And guys are getting deals overseas. You know, guys are overseas. So it's I think initially it's going to be a little bit less, but it's going to make for more competitive games. I don't know about the overall depiction of talent yet. I mean, it's really hard to say with the D-League because it's very last minute, you know, as we get ready for the start of the season. It's all contingent on who makes NBA teams, who doesn't, who enters the D-League draft pool, who doesn't. You know, I think last year we had guys like Jeff Ayers and Jim Fredette, and, you know, Ronnie Brewer and guys add into the NBA draft pool. So it's, you know, we don't really know until probably the last week of October, unfortunately.
So that means I was going to ask you best player, best team in the D-League. That probably won't work then.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, I can speculate based on who I think will be the affiliate players. And team would be almost impossible. I mean, just because you don't know who's going to fill that roster yet. But I can tell you some guys that I'm excited about seeing that I think will be there.
Okay.
Jonathan Holmes is in Cleveland's camp. I think he's probably going to be an affiliate player for them. He was with the Lakers last year in camp and then got injured. So this year he's healthy. So I think we'll see him in Canton. I'm excited about Wiltjer. I think Wiltjer would do well. He's a guy from Gonzaga. I'm excited to see Alex Poitras from Kentucky. He'll be with Fort Wayne. He's in Indiana's camp. And then some guys that I'm really excited about, like Fred VanVleet. I love Fred VanVleet. I don't know if college fans are listening. Wichita State point guard, just such a good point guard. He's in Toronto's camp, and he'll probably be with the Raptors 905. And then there's 2 Argentinian guys in the Spurs camp. Nicholas, I think it's Laparavitola, and Patricio Guarino, who are probably going to be affiliate guys down in Austin, who I think will be really good as well. I mean, there's a number of guys, too, other guys that are, like, known players, like Cliff Alexander, Thomas Robinson, you know, that could be that. Marcus Page, I mean, I'm a UNC fan. Marcus Page is probably going to be in Salt Lake, and I'm stoked to see Marcus Page probably put up 20 a night, you know, in D-League. And see if he can really kind of develop and turn himself into an NBA player. So plenty of guys I'm excited about. It's just hard to get a full picture of what a full roster is going to look like, unfortunately, right now.
Right. This is a more of a frivolous one. Can we talk about logos for a second here? I have the D-League page with all the teams and their new locations up, and I think I see maybe 3 logos that I like for all of the teams. Like, some of them are just, you can't really say much, like the 87ers and the Swarm. They just copied their NBA team. It's like, whatever, I guess you can do that. The Skyforce, kind of the same thing. Some of them are really good. Like, I really like the Canton Charge. I like the Santa Cruz Warriors. It's like a Neptune's Trident thing. The Defenders is nice. Austin Spurs is very Spurs. Texas Legends might be my favorite. It's very clean. But some of them, like the Westchester Knicks, the Long Island Nets for sure. I'm not a big fan of Windy City Bulls. Salt Lake City Stars is okay, I guess. Northern Arizona Suns just looks like a cop out. Like, I think whoever did the Clippers redesign did that team one. I'm not really sure what happened there. Where do you fall in on the logos? What are your favorite and least favorites? I'm sure you look at these things all the time.
Yeah, some of them stink, like you said. I mean, along with the monikers. I mean, I don't like the whole, like, Northern Arizona Suns, Long Island Nets. Like, be creative and think of a different moniker. I mean, yeah. I know you want fans to know that they're connected to your team, But at the same time, like, come on, I like the old school names, like Sioux Falls Skyforce. Before Santa Cruz was the Warriors, they were the Dakota Wizards when they were in South Dakota. Like, that's a sweet name, even though we have the Wizards in the NBA, that's still a sweet name. So, yeah, I like Texas's. I kind of like Reno's.
I like Reno's because Bighorns is just so not NBA. I think that's why I like it. It's, like, very distinctive.
Right, yeah, and I think I'm kind of biased. My high school, I was the Rams.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty close, so I'm a little biased for that, too. but I like theirs. Yeah, some of them are just kind of, I don't want to say lame, but they're lame.
I know you don't want to say it because you know a lot of D-League guys. The Detroit one, what is that? Hold on, I have my Skype thing over the team name. Let me look at this. The Grand Rapids Drive.
Grand Rapids, yeah.
Yeah, their logo is awful. It's just a white basketball that says Grand Rapids Drive. I actually love the Iowa Energy because it's so ugly. It's endearing. It's like this angry basketball flying through the air. That's the Grizzlies one.
Yeah, yeah. That's the one with like the flames in the back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like flames, yeah, yeah.
Just because the Grizzlies are like, everything about the Grizzlies is a little ugly, but that's why you like it. That's perfect for them. Windy City Bulls. I don't like that the bull is hiding, but what can you do? Oklahoma City Blue is bad.
The Windy City Bulls secondary logo is amazing.
Oh, okay.
And their court design looks great, but I don't like their primary logo. But so I'm with you there. But their secondary logo when they released it, I was like, man, that's super. They should have went with that for their primary logo. It's super legit. But, yeah, I mean, the name itself is awful. I don't like Windy City Bulls either.
It's like, why go with a weird, like, location name and then the same team name? Like, Northern Arizona Suns. Like, that could be, like, you're describing the Phoenix Suns. They're also in Northern. Well, I think Phoenix is Northern enough. I might be wrong. I don't know Phoenix that well or Arizona. But it is just like, it sounds like a synonym.
Central.
I guess.
Yeah. So, but I mean, if you're going to go Northern Arizona Suns, at least make your abbreviation NAS for it was written. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Don't do NAZ.
It's NAZ?
At least.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, at least get Illmatic on us. Don't give us the NAZ and tease us with it. Come on.
I don't think they could because of copyright, but imagine if, like, their team logo was, like, Devin Booker as a baby and that Illmatic cover, like, the NAS Suns. They'd win every game. They would never lose.
They're just the Northern Arizona Ethers. You know, I'm just going to drop all kinds of Nas references
when I write about
Northern Arizona.
This is completely unrelated, but my favorite thing about following you on Twitter, my second favorite is all the D-League knowledge. My first favorite is you are like the rawest dad. Like I always see like you are like talking to your kids about like hip-hop and stuff, and I'm like, this is the best. This brightens my day. I can't wait for fatherhood. I can wait a little for it. I'm not ready right now, but someday when I'm there, man. I can't wait.
It's the best, man, really. You think it's going to be terrible, and I mean, I thought it was going to be just, like, terrible, and I won't be able to do anything, but, you know, they're little people, and they got personalities, and, you know, they do everything you want to do, and it's they're the best, man. My daughter's the coolest. She loves Greg Popovich.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which is great. I mean, she loves Steph Curry. She loves Steph Curry. So she watches the D-League games with me. I plug in the computer and, you know, put it on the TV so she can watch with me. And I've already filled her mind with the fact that these lesser-known people are better than the NBA. Watch them instead.
Does your daughter know more about the D-League than most casual NBA fans?
Nah, she's not going to spout off anything. She can give you the names, but she's not going to come at you with the rules or anything. I don't have her that brainwashed yet.
Ronald Roberts Jr. had a 20.1 PER last year. What are you thinking?
She'll just turn to me and say, oh, that Greg Popovich. He's so funny.
That's amazing.
It's the best, man. It's the best. It really is.
I'm glad we got that detour in here. I have one last lightning round thing, basically. And if you want to add anything after, feel free to. But so we had two teams move this year. Were they... Now, I'm half guessing, half recollecting. I want to say one of them was bought, and that's why it was moved, and one of them was moved just because, but I might be wrong. They might have both been bought by the team.
Now, Utah had previously purchased the Idaho Stampede the year before, so they left them in Idaho for one more year, and then they moved them. So you're right. They had previously been bought.
Yes.
And then Phoenix purchased the Bakersfield Dam outright. They had an affiliation with them before, but they hadn't owned them fully. So they purchased them and then moved them all in one move.
Was that the Clippers team at some point or no?
No, that was no. Bakersfield was, I had heard a while back that the Clippers were looking at Bakersfield to fill the spot that was left when that team left. But when I talked to a couple of team guys like Dan Wolke and a couple of them, they were like, they said they asked about it and they're looking somewhere closer. Bakersfield's about 2 hours from LA. So.
Oh, okay. Is what happened to the Clippers team? Did they get poached? Did they ever or no?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I thought from the way you were, I thought you meant like they got poached. Like Greensboro was like, no, we're taking your team now. This is ours. I was like, wow, the D-League really is savage.
No, they've used it. They used it with CJ Wilcox and Brandon Dawson last year, but they just used the flex rule.
Okay, so there are, and I'm looking at the map, and like you've mentioned a couple times, and I have too, proximity is big for these NBA teams and the D-League teams now. Most of them are close. A few, the Sioux Falls Skyforce is one, the Erie Bayhawks is another. I think both of those are old for D-League standards, D-League teams, that's why they're where they are. But the Magic own Erie and the Heat own Sioux Falls. Could you see those teams getting moved to accommodate the NBA, or do you think there's going to be a lot of pushback?
No, I think they're definitely both going to be moved. I mean, Orlando's already talked about, I think they have it down to like two or three cities.
Oh, okay.
That are bidding for a team. So they're definitely going to move. If they don't move them, they're just going to build their own, you know, and start their own team there. So in essence, what they did with Bakersfield, you know, so they'll move them and keep some of the same people there. Because they already have that infrastructure in place. And then I think Sioux Falls, their contract with Miami is up after this upcoming season, 16-17. So I think what you'll see is Miami looking for a closer location as well. But I'm not sure about that because we haven't heard anything about that either. So you would think if they're going to do that, they would have to start next year. And you would think they would probably be looking into it. Maybe they're going to use their practice facility. Maybe they'll do... You know, some of the teams have done that. LA, you know, they play in their practice facility for the Lakers. So they could do that and move easily. But I think both of those will definitely move.
Did I nail the two that are probably going to move? It looks like the rest of them are moderately close. The energy are a little far from Memphis, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere, though. I think you did nail those two, the two that are going to move. So, and you were right, too. They've been around a long time, especially Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls, I really hope somebody takes over. If they don't, I'm hoping Minnesota might be the team
that
takes over if Miami picks up shop and leaves, because Minnesota used to have an affiliation with Sioux Falls, and Sioux Falls has a rich, like, you know, 20, 30-year basketball history dating back to the CBA and stuff like that. So, you know, the fans there are great. That's one of the best venues in the D-League. The Sanford Pentagon is where they play. They got like the parquet floors. It's a great venue, man. So I really hope that if Miami does move or get a closer location, that somebody else picks up in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, I mean, it always sucks to see somewhere that has a good community and good fans. It always sucks when they lose their teams. You know, Seattle's the most recent NBA example. Even if the overall fan base sucks, like the St. Louis Rams, like their games were empty. But, I mean, you know there were thousands of, like, die-hard Rams fans there. Like, that sucks to see them lose their team. I mean, it's not quite the same with the D-League, but still, I mean, Sioux Falls is not a huge city. It's not a sprawling metropolis. I think it's important. It would be super cool if Minnesota, I don't know who else would be close enough, but if Minnesota took it over, I do like that idea. I hope the history remains. I don't know what the Erie Bayhawks are going to do.
Yeah, no idea. They don't have anybody really close up there that needs one.
Oh, maybe the Bucks could get one. Oh, they're not that close, though. They're both kind of far from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
No, they're getting Oshkosh. What am I saying? I lost it at the end here. I tried to not sound like a complete D-League idiot, and I think I did okay, but not great. Like,
nah,
I feel like
you did great,
I'm fuzzy.
You did good.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I would just say anybody who has questions about the D-League or any of these rules or anything we talked about, just a quick plug for one of my things, go over to upsideofmotor.com. I have a D-League FAQ over there that I created that touches on anything and everything that I could think of, including salaries for 10-day contracts for the upcoming season, when the D-League draft is, how they build their rosters. I mean, I tried to do everything I could on there. So if you have questions, go check that out. Hopefully it answers your questions.
Is it going to be a Halloween-themed draft? It's on October 30th.
Last year it was on Halloween. So they do it right around that time every year because they have a two-week camp, the 1st through the 14th every year, and then they start this season on the 18th of November, is opening night.
That's awesome. I wish they would just like D-League commissioner goes out there dressed up like Frankenstein. Welcome to the 2016 NBA D-League draft.
They don't even televise it. They don't YouTube it. They don't do anything.
Oh, I'm surprised they don't YouTube it. They YouTube everything. You can watch D-League games on YouTube. That's weird.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you want. You can watch them live. You can watch them after the fact. They archive them for you. You can go back and watch games from last year's championship if you want to in their entirety. It's great.
I hope people are listening to this just like getting pumped. Like, yes! D-League, whenever I need this. It is cool. It is super cool, especially if you live around one of these places. Go check out a D-League game. Like, why not? Go see guys who could be on your NBA team or someone else's within a year or two or, like, a week. Things move fast in the D-League. I think we got all of it, though. I think we covered our D-League stuff. Quick shout-out to Joey Burbs. Does the intro and outro music for Time Out with Ty. I was apparently about to make a lot of new music, which I'm excited about. If he ever gets his ass in gear, hopefully Joey listens to this one. JoeyBurbs.com, SoundCloud.com/JoeyBurbs. Google Joey Burbs. Google's your friend. Follow Chris on Twitter. Is it at Chris Reichert right now?
Yeah, at Chris _ Reichert.
_. I thought it was something. I couldn't remember if it was a number or an underscore. And absolutely check out UpsideMotor.com. It's literally, I told Chris before the recording started, to do my research for this, I just went to UpsideMotor.com and just started reading his articles real quick. And I went to, like, the D-League page for, like, this map. But everything else was Upside Motor. They have everything that you need to know about the D-League. Not more, because you need to know a lot about the D-League. But they have everything, so go read all of it. Thanks for listening. Chris, thanks for stopping by again to entertain my idiotic D-League takes.
I always love talking to you, man, and you're great. You're really good at this podcast thing, so I appreciate you having me on, bro.
Absolutely. Have a good one, my man.
All right, bye.